This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com.
Just after 7:30 tonight, they will drop the puck right after they kick somebody out of the faceoff circle, because that's been the order of the day in this first round series. Mike Maniscalco, the voice of your Carolina Hurricanes on Bally Sports. I hope, but look, this is weird. I hope this is the last game for you this for the playoffs. That's kind of backhanded, isn't it?
I mean, on TV, we still
right, yes.
So the radio call's there. So no, I'm not in disagreement with you. I'll take that. I'll take that as a compliment. So, you know, we get to keep doing the games. And just for having this conversation, we've both been thrown out of the face-off circle tonight.
Holy cow!
It's been unbelievable.
So what do you make of that? Obviously, that has something to do with whatever the numbers were. It was under 25%.
Yeah, 86% face-off win for the Islanders. So I mean, that's unreal. So
I've never seen anything like that. What do you make of that? Because Carolina is a good face-off team.
I mean, I can read a lot of things into it because Carolina is such a good face-off team. So what comes with that, Adam, is if you're not cheating, you're not trying.
Right.
So, you know, linesmen, I'm sure, are briefed that the Canes like to do this in the face-off circle or like to do that. They're going to be ultra-sensitive to the wingers crashing in because everybody thinks it's just the guy taking the draw
Mm-mm.
who gets thrown out. But it's everything around it. If the wingers or the players around the faceoff circle are jumping in, a guy will get thrown out early for that. But, I mean, there are times where, honestly, Adam, nothing's going on, and a player gets booted. And I'm trying to figure out, I don't know what he possibly could have done
right.
to get ejected from the faceoff circle. So it's up to the linesman discretion what they want to do, and you just move on from there.
On the power play goal the Islanders scored, that was actually a face-off win for Jack Drury, but Anders Lee, knowing that Pierre Engvall was going to lose the face-off, Anders Lee intercepted the face-off win and got it right back to Noah Dobson. And then, you know, it's quite possible that Pierre Engvall did nothing but interfere with Jack Drury, which prevented him from getting out to Noah Dobson. But I'll just leave it at that. Unfortunate set of circumstances. Carolina still got it into overtime. What? Mike Maniscalco is joining us here. Through four games of this series, which has been relatively even except for Carolina's dominance in the back half, last half of game two, where do you think Carolina's overall game can go to another level?
Oh, where? In almost, and I hate to put it in these terms, but in almost every level. Although the funny thing is, game two, Adam, go back and watch game two from start to finish
mm-hmm.
and blink when the Islanders score and then look back up and you would have thought that game should have been 7-0 Carolina.
Yeah.
I mean, they were good from the opening faceoff until the final whistle. You know, hockey can be funny where bounces or certain things don't go your way and you can find yourself down on the scoreboard, but they were great. I go back to that game and that was, they did everything that they want to do. They can be, I think, a little bit more, what's the word that I'll use the word determined to get in front of Semyon Varlamov and take away mm-hmm. his eyes. They can do a little bit more on that. You know, clearly starting with the puck in the face-off circle, but you and I just
yeah.
had a rather esoteric discussion about what's going on in the face-off circle, at least with game four. They could certainly be better there. I've liked them on special teams. There's not much that I would change on the special teams except they've really gotten the opportunities. You cannot complain if you're a Hurricanes fan
Mm-mm.
about power play chances in this series. The Canes have had the majority of them, and the funny thing is the percentages are the same while the Canes have doubled the opportunities of the Islanders for this postseason when it comes to playoffs, when it comes to power plays and special teams. So I wouldn't change anything there. But it's honestly, you're just talking about little things. Rod's talked about it all during the season, you know, taking a breath here and there. But you also have to remember, the other team is going to take advantage of it when you get to the playoffs. You know, the Islanders, for all of the things that we like to talk about that the Canes are so superior for, they have good players. And when a guy like Matt Barzal wakes up like he did in game number four, you give him an inch, he's going to find a way to make you pay for it. So Really, it's just those moments where, you know, you get a little loose. You know, you get a chance to clear a puck and you don't do it. That's really been the Canes' worst enemy in this series. And I mean, we're talking about, you know, what can the Canes do better? They're still one win away from eliminating the Islanders in five games, which is pretty darn good, if you ask me.
Yeah, in game three, the Islanders, I think it was the first goal. I thought Carolina did everything right. Tony DeAngelo won a defensive battle, had gotten the puck out of the zone. And I think it was Teuvo Teravainen who just didn't make a play on the puck, and it ends up coming right back in, and that cycled around, and it ended up being a goal. But going back to game two, I thought the Islanders played nine good minutes and got three goals out of it. Like the last four, 5 minutes of this of the first period, into the first 4 or 5 minutes of the second, and it was 3-0. And from that point, before then, it was all Carolina, because it was at one point 11-0 in shots on goal. Simon Holmstrom got the first Islanders shot on goal in game two with like 6.5 minutes left in the first period. And all of a sudden, it's 3-0. And then Carolina just, I mean, it was like men versus boys the rest of the way.
Oh, yeah.
But Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter, Capital Financial Advisory Group. Financial advice industry can be overwhelming for a lot of people. Is there a way to be sure you're getting the best service when you don't know?
Yeah, Adam, it's not just if you gave the money to a planning team and they did good the first year. I mean, anyone can do good for 1 year, but it's a track record and it's a long-term accounts that are very important. We call that a financial fill-up strategy, Adam, and that gives you lifetime income you can never outlive. We'll put together for you, the listener, your very own total retirement plan if you call right now.
Call and claim your comprehensive review with Coach Pete and the team, 888-843-0013, or text Adam to 600-700.
Adam Gold is a paid spokesman. Investment advisory services offered by Capital Financial Advisory Group, a North Carolina registered investment advisor.
Yeah, it was the varsity versus the JV the rest of the way in that game. And look, it's that's the weird thing about hockey, Adam. When we try to explain this to folks, like that 9 minutes, that can be the game.
Yep.
The amazing thing is what Carolina did for 51, as I go back to it, it should have been worse on the scoreboard.
Yep.
You know, that's one of those games you look at. That's why I thought this series was probably going to be over in four. You know, now I can do the revisionist history in hindsight being 2020. Game one was not the Canes' best game. They win it 3-1. And if you're the Islanders, you're sitting there going, we had to win that game.
Yep.
Game two, you go up 3-0, but the Canes play their best game, and you're like, God, we can be up 3-0, and we can't beat their best game. So now it's 2-0. Then the Canes win, you know, a pretty even game three. You knew the Islanders would push back. This would be everything that they have. But the Canes win game three because they do all the little things that they need to do. Special teams go to the Carolina Hurricanes in that one. You're up 3-0. And then you survive the first five-minute push in game number four, and you get the first goal.
Right.
And that's where I'll give the Islanders credit. I thought that, you know, that could be the, all right, guys, what time do our flights arrive in Cancun kind of game, you know, the rest of the way for New York. They didn't. And, you know, Patrick Waugh is not going to have them play that way. And Varlamov was really good. You know, he was the difference maker as it goes into. There's one thing that I'm going to watch, and I don't know how big of a factor it'll be here tonight, Adam, in game five. But the Islanders really just ran their top four defensemen. And with the 2 days in between games, I don't know how big of a factor it will be here tonight. But you had the Islanders' top 4D over 30 minutes. Carolina's number one player with time on ice was Dmitry Orlov in game number four. So, you know, there's not going to be a tired legs conversation for, I think, the Hurricanes when they hit the ice tonight. And I think really tonight, Adam, comes down to if the Canes throw their game at the Islanders in the first period and say, this is how hard tonight's going to be. It's going to be really hard for the Islanders to find a way to win without getting the matchups that they want, even though Patrick Waugh is not a big matchup guy.
He's not.
He's really not. You know, a couple of times you'd see him for face-offs. Here comes Pageot. Here comes Horvat. But other than that, he has not been a matchup guy in this series.
Well, what's interesting is that he said that, but he was clearly targeting the Kokkaniemi Natchez, Teravainen, and trio. You're clearly targeting them, sending Barzal, Horvat, Cizikas over the boards for them. And Rod occasionally got Aho back out there, occasionally got Staal back out there, but a lot of it was that matchup that he clearly did want. I think down the lineup he doesn't care, but he definitely wants to keep, because the two games on home ice here for the Hurricanes, Barzal, Horvat, and Cizikas did nothing.
Yeah.
They had zero shots on goal, and Rod was sending Aho, Svechnikov, or at one point it was Aho, Jarvis, and Gensel out against them, and that line completely shut them down. Speaking of Sebastian Aho and Andrei Svechnikov, their line has been good with Gensel, right? But it has not scored a goal in two games and a period. But they've been good. All the underlying numbers are really good with that trio. What do you make of that? Has it been bad luck, or is that, as you said earlier, maybe a little bit more determination?
I think it might be a bounce here or there, because that line has been one where people were kind of clamoring for it, and now that you got it, and it's been good. They've changed in a couple of these games. They've had a shift that changes the momentum or changes the tenor of it. But you go back to it, and for me, it was that line. Actually, it was on a nice play by Jalen Chatfield. It was game three. So they went an entire game without scoring a goal.
Right.
Good God, we got to call for the investigation. But it's one of those lines where I think when they are on in what they're able to do and the way that Svechnikov with going back to the old school power forward in the space he can create for Aho and Gensel, you're sitting there going, why don't they score every shift there on the ice when they make plays like that? I think that's going to be more. It was puck luck. That game, I'll go back to it, in game number two, the Canes hit five posts in that game. And there were two posts, or at least a post and a crossbar, that was Sebastian Aho.
Yep.
And he stayed with it. So I think there's a little bit of that. And look, you go on the road, you go up 3-0. It's not one of these things where I'm saying that the Canes had counted the chickens before they hatched, but I think that you get into a sense of, we got this game, we've got a lead, we'll just keep doing what we're doing, and you don't expect the Islanders to have a push. And you give a team like that life, they're going to find a way to cling to it in that building. Nobody wants to be swept in a playoff series, no matter what. You can look at the mountain they have to climb, and, oh, God, do we really got to play another game? Well, yeah, they want to play another game. That's what they get paid to do.
Didn't we all expect this series to be a long-ish one, six games? I mean, I did going in. I fully expected we were going to be here seven games, because the Islanders are they're like a root canal. They're all, no matter who the coach is, they're just hard to play against.
Yeah, and coming into this, anybody who thought that this series would be a sweep, I'm like, what are you talking about? Have you watched what these series have been? Go back to last year, watch any of these playoff series. I mean, even the Rangers, when they dispatched Washington, it wasn't that easy. And they did that, and Ovechkin didn't show up for that
no points.
With, you
zero.
Look at it. So for me, I just think it honestly, Adam, it's the way this matchup is, and I hate saying this because it seems like I'm downplaying the Islanders. But if the Canes do what they're supposed to do, I don't see – there was no way the Islanders would win the series, but they were going to win a game or two in this one. Now the question tonight, and this is the big thing for all playoff series, and I go back to what Justin Williams said years ago. When you play in a playoff series, it's all about leaning on your opposition and letting them know exactly how damn hard it's going to be to win the series. Well, I think that the Islanders understand that even when they get a win, they got to go to double overtime at home. They needed – a power play goal to get in there. They needed some crossbars to be hit. They needed an all-world performance by Semyon Varlamov, and that's just to get a game. So that's why tonight, if Carolina throws out, and I'll keep going back to it, if they throw out their game right from the start, it's going to be really hard for the Islanders to force this thing to go back to Long Island. Not impossible, but it'd be really hard.
I will see you on the fifth floor in just a few hours, Mike Maniscalco. I appreciate your time.
Anytime. I'll see you there, and then I'll see you the rest of the way through. I think we share a room
at least part of it. They kicked me out. They kicked me out for part of it, but that's fine. That's fine. It's okay.
Don't worry about it. I used to have an office, and now I don't even have a nameplate.
Wait, they took your nameplate down?
Well, I took my nameplate down.
Oh, okay.
But yeah.
So now I can't even call it, because that's generally where I hung out. Now I can't even call it Maniscalco's office. I got to call it something else now. Man, I got to come up with another name. All right, sir. I'll see you later.
You got it, Adam. Bye-bye.
Take care. Mike Maniscalco here on the Adam Gold Show.
What a great person to share a space with, though.
No, we had fun.
Yeah.
Mike and Tripp. And he's when we get to the playoffs, like, I don't know, because Hannah's got baseball issues now. Because Hannah's also doing Braves games for Bally. So yeah. I don't know what, like, when TV stuff is over, does Hannah just gone?
I don't know. I'll just step in and pretend to be Hannah.
I'll just bother Shane.
I can call myself Vanna. Like,
are you turning letters?
I know. Just pretend to be Hannah with a V.
What a great gig, though. Is that not the greatest job in the history of television?
Vanna White's?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
The history of television.
Oh, easy.
Might be the greatest job in the history of anything.
100% is.
Gosh.
I know.
I turned letters.
When she wanted a raise and almost didn't come back, I was like, I could pretend. My name starts with a V.
Boom. That's right. You do. You can say, I'm Vanna.
There you go.
Whatever.